Hello, everybody, and welcome to an insomnia-fueled recording of the Boomburst Turf Wars Phase Recap. I'm Dozer, and here with me I have our lovely frontman.
Yeah, it's me, Syracuse. I also need sleep.
It is, we're an hour off in time zones, but it's like 2:30 in the morning for me.
And about 3:30 for me.
Yeah. Because of schedule conflicts, we pulled a double recording session one night and we thought it was a good idea. And then we let Queenie derail us on random conversations for like 2 hours while she derped around making a Boomburst Tumblr.
Yeah, it was fine. It was absolutely fine.
It was fun until I almost passed out.
Yeah, what we learned is that Dozer can do intros when he's half asleep, though.
So yeah, I
can. That works for us.
Yeah. So anyway, what have you been up to, Zach?
You know, just the usual, working on projects. We actually just put out a recording today, something we did the other night. And so right now I'm trying to finish up other stuff so we can start posting more content.
Can I just laugh at the people who comment before listening? No offense to anyone, but it was the breaking news on the leaked hidden abilities. Spoiler, we take like it seriously at first, but we're acting because we're actors.
Yeah, you know, like 4 years of theater, 2 lead roles, a part in a barbershop quartet. I think I'm pretty well versed. And Dozer was...
I was in competitive speech and I went to acting camp a few years and got lead roles.
Yeah. Dozer was the plant shop owner in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah, basically.
He didn't sing, but he's Mel Brooks.
And I just like to point fun at people. The episode itself even had a disclaimer before you discredit any information said, listen to the full episode, because at about 10 minutes in, we just kind of break down laughing because we can't be serious any longer.
Yeah, it's...
And we go into what it's really about, and I loved seeing, and I knew it was going to happen too, the comments that rolled in. It's like, you guys know that this isn't real and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, dude, go 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
Start listening there.
By the way, speaking of our shows, our RSS feed is going to be reset. Isn't that right, Dozer?
Yes, that is. There was a little technical mishap on my end. We're redirecting the feed from our host of Podbean over to Feedburner. To do that, we're going to actually have to delete our feed on iTunes. So if you're listening to this episode in a couple of days, you're going to have to go back to iTunes and resubscribe to us. You can also check us out on any of our social media to keep up on episodes and such. Because we're going to be switching over to a new feed that we have more control over just for future expansion.
Yeah,
it also
we'll
has some extra stat tracking and stuff like that, so yes. It's going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, we'll probably mention this also on other upcoming videos, just to remind you, until we have it set that it's on the correct feed and everything.
Yeah. So basically what's going to happen is this episode's going to go live on Monday night, January 19th, unless something happens. Then it'd be on Wednesday night, we'll be posting another episode. That episode will be posted on the new RSS feed. So if it's the 21st and you don't have an episode in iTunes, go check it out. Just research the Boomburst. Well, it should hopefully be around that point. It depends how long it takes iTunes to actually delete it.
Yeah, which
but I am going
it took like a day for us to be
added in.
So it shouldn't take too long.
By the next phase recap, we should be back in iTunes if iTunes actually deletes the podcast right away. Because we cannot resubmit it until it's deleted because it's fetching data from the same feed and it's got the same name. We could, you know, we thought about changing the name a little bit and submitting it, but we couldn't even submit the new RSS feed because it's pulling it from the same source. So
yeah, all technical stuff. Basically, what it means is we have to change the way that it's getting distributed to you. And if you aren't subscribed, you won't see it. And it's going to suck to see you guys go. So Make sure you subscribe back when we have everything up and running. Sorry about the technical difficulties.
Yeah,
I think that's just becoming canon for us now to have horrible technical difficulties.
Honestly, this is something that's a little more in a controlled environment because this is something I knew that was going to become a problem soon. And I just decided I'd rather, because chances are we're going to lose some subscribers on this just because people aren't going to go and resubscribe or something. Because whenever you do an RSS switch, if you cannot do a 301 redirect, which if you don't know what that is, it would basically tell the RSS feed in iTunes to redirect itself to a new feed. Because of our host, with Podbean, we don't have the technical complications to do that because we don't have complete control over our RSS feed, which was my mess up when I set up the iTunes account, which is why we're switching over to FeedBurner. I'm not saying that Podbean isn't an amazing host. They're very, very helpful as of now.
Yes.
It's just I want to be in complete control over the RSS feed that iTunes is getting us from.
Yes. So in short, it's Dozer's fault. Subscribe again.
Yeah. We like subscribers. There's estimated to be like, for a small podcast like us, I think it's an amazing number, like 40 of you.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
We love it. So we love all of
you. We didn't think we'd have that many people who'd be interesting in hearing us rant and talk about random theory modding and stuff. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or talking about a new developing metagame called Pokemon Turf Wars.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, that's kind of the point of today's episode.
Yay.
Is looking at what happened in phase 12.
The break phase.
It was a break phase, and as stated last week, that means that it's also a type trade phase. But we're going to get... Do we want to get to the type trade first, or should we get to the actual battles that transpired?
We'll do the battles.
Okay. Do you want to lead us in with what we had with Dim Sun?
Yeah, sure, why not? So, Dim Sun had a couple decent battles this turn. They had two against Magma and then one against Snaggum as a defending action. Their two against Magma, they both won. They won 4-2 in the leader battle for Eterna City, and they won the leader battle 6-3 in Floroma Town.
Up, correcting you, the Eterna City battle was 4-2 in the admin battle.
Ah,
that was my typo in the notes.
It's also Dozer's fault.
Everything is my fault. I can't edit it. I'm trying to do things, and
it's fine. We've been over this already. The dilililil whoop.
Whoop. You're Cricketune?
Cricketune now. Deal with it. So, but yeah, they won the leader battle. It was between, I believe it was Snuggle Pumpkin and Maxi.
Maxi, yeah, Snuggle Pumpkin repping Dim Sun, Maxi, repping Magma with that Mega Manect trick.
But the Mega Manect trick getting stalled down into a loss.
Mega Manect trick, one of the best Megas ever.
But it can't do much against
a Chansey.
You know, Chansey.
No, it really can't. And that led Dim Sun to win that location, which was Floroma Town, 6-3. That leader battle being a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Which is actually something that happened a lot this phase.
Yeah, and tiebreakers are always really nice because we get some really nice leader battles out of them.
Yay!
Dim Sung won in the admin battle, and then there was another admin battle for their defending action against Lumio City. With a 4-2 win, so they didn't really lose anything, and they gained two territories in this phase.
Yeah, no, Dim Sun doing a really, really clean sweep, winning all of their battles, 6-3, 4-2, and 4-2, respectively, so good job to them. That Lumio City battle, like we said, against Snaggum, who also had their own fair share of battles this phase.
Yeah.
Snaggum attacked Magma over the Kalos Pokemon League over in Kalos, of course. And like we were saying, we've had a lot of battles that have had leader tiebreakers. That was one of them.
Yeah, this one was between A. Kelly and Maxi, and it was a good match, to say the least.
It was a really good battle. A big turn, a key turn in that battle would have been, I think it was Akeli had the Glyph score, and Maxie had the Charizard Y out, and I think Maxie predicted a switch? Or something, because he went for the Solar Beam, which is neutral damage.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what was going on.
This is what happens when we're tired and we realize we have to get work done.
We're tired and we don't know, but I think that was a prediction where I'm guessing Maxie might have been suspecting the Azumarill to come in or something that would have taken a heavy hit from the Solar Beam. Akeli stayed in, took the Solar Beam like a champ with the Gliscor, and did the good old, was it a Stone Edge or a Rock Slide?
I believe it's Stone Edge. You don't really see too much Rock Slide
in the leader battles.
Same here, and I prefer Rock Slide in singles anyway because you get the flinch chance and it's not bad damage either.
Rock Slide is good because it's more accurate. The good thing about Rock Slide is it's highly more accurate and you get the flinch chance, which is only relevant when you're faster. Stone Edge, what's really good about that is it's a lot higher damage output. It's slightly less accurate, but it's got a higher critical hit ratio.
Yeah.
Risk versus reward.
Yeah, also, Rock Slide has more PP, which is another thing I like.
And I think it's got a better move distribution.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, more Pokemon learn Rock Slide, because there's some that learn Rock Slide, but not Stone Edge.
And there's some that learn Stone Edge, but not Rock Slide.
It kind of evens out in that. But either way, that kind of turned out to be a big turn, and it kind of ended off with a Clefable Toxic Stall against the Rotomwash, and then... It was just, I can't remember what Maxie's last Pokemon was, but it was the thing.
What thing?
I think it was the Landorus.
It was the Landorus Therian.
It was the Lando T, and Akeli finished it off with the Belly Drum Azumarill.
It was the Lando Therizium.
Snag'em repping those fairy types.
Yeah, definitely. One of their best types. It's heavy in their core, so.
Mm-hmm. They use it a lot, and it's their fairy types just win them pretty well. So that led to a win for Snag'em in the Kalos Pokemon League 6-3 with that tie-breaking leader battle. And then
Arcadia attacked Nuvamatown, but yeah, Snag'em managed to defend 4-2 in the admin battle. Not bad by any means, though.
No. So that was a pretty good turn for Snag'em, not losing anything and gaining a territory, which is always good to gain and not lose.
Going on to Arcadia, we see that they were, in fact, attacked by Magma this turn.
Yeah, Magma attacked Arcadia in Aspersia City, which is a highway battle. Magma going to cross a highway from Dooford. Was it Dooford? No, not Dooford. Rustboro?
Yeah, or Slateport.
No. Slateport. It was a highway. Rustboro is not even a highway, Dozer. What the hell?
No, it's not. Anyway, I can't even talk. A defensive action was used, and Arcadia won it in the leader battle 5-1 between Admiral Panda and Scup. And honestly, it was a really good battle. A lot of clutch plays. And when I say clutch plays, I mean Pokemon surviving with 1 or 2% HP at a time. We're gonna link this one because this is our leader choice of the week.
Mm-hmm. A really fun battle to watch. We're not gonna spoil too much about it because we're just gonna link it in. We're just gonna let you watch it in all of its glory. Though obviously the result is, if you haven't watched it and don't want spoilers, do the whole posy thing and go watch the battle. Okay.
It's 5-1. It's pretty obvious what happens.
Panda wins 3-0.
That Terrakion pulling its weight, even with the burn on it.
Yeah.
And all those Stone Edge hitting, just did a lot of damage.
And
surviving
then
superpower.
The Rotom Heat, living on with the 1% and getting that Volt Switch off. Granted, rocks were up, but I'm assuming that Latias was packing Defog.
Yeah, most likely. It wouldn't have mattered, though.
And even then, it's a pretty good Death Fodder to get a free switch into either Latias or the Slowbro that he was running, which was most likely his mega of choice.
It was.
Mm-hmm. But once again, I need to say that Scup had a pretty interesting team. He had the Talonflame, Excadrill, the Landorus Incarnate, and the Mega Charizard, which, the Landorus Incarnate is relatively common to see from Scup.
Oh, no, he had Thundorus, I thought.
Thundorus. Yeah. What was I saying?
His team, though, had a lot of blatant weaknesses to rock and water.
Because he had two lower tiered Pokemon, which I always like to see them used, but it was Rhyperior and Drapion.
Yeah.
And, the use of Rhyperior is very questioning. I find very, very odd. I guess, while granted, Arcadia doesn't necessarily have solid access to anything like grass or water, they do have plenty of Pokemon with those stab moves.
Yeah, they
can take out the Rhyperior.
The Rhyperior, it's super weak to any quad water move.
Even with solid rock.
Grass Knot is another thing. A simple Grass Knot from a Delphox would easily KO that thing.
Well, not even just a Delphox, a good old Grass Knot from a Heliolisk, too.
Yeah, I mean...
One of the good old battles back in Season 1 with that maneuver.
It's really questionable what the choices were, but...
There's a train in the background. I'm sorry.
Choo-choo.
We should have been talking about Dim Sun when the train went by. We could have called it the Dim Sun Hype Train.
Well, actually, since we do have a hype train going on, let's talk about this awesome hype train. And we're talking about Solar Trinity here. So... They had two battles against Arcadia as well.
Doubling up all of their tokens into the number one team, Arcadia, which is not an uncommon thing for Solar Trinity to do.
Nah, we love them, so it's always enjoyable.
I also rather enjoy Solar Trinity, especially with... before we get into the real fun battle, let's take a look at Silage Town.
Silage. Is it Silage City?
Is it? I think so. Silage, whatever...
Silage. Arcadia defends 4-1.
Did you make it to that battle, Zach? See anything interesting go on?
No, I was still at work. So.
I saw
the end of it. So
these battles were going on literally the day that we were recording. Well, not the day, but a few hours ago. Actually, I caught this replay because I knew this was coming because N gave me a peek of his team, and it was glorious. If you don't remember, I think it was last week, I said someone should use Moonshine. And then, I remember it was Crown Syndrome. I was in the, Turf Wars chat a few days ago. I'm like, why don't you guys use Moonshine? You got, like, all the best types, but you're not using my favorite Pokemon. And you have access to both of my favorites, Umbreon and Arcanine. And you don't use them. And Crown's like, Moonshine's really not that good. And then I love this. N sets up a Grunt tournament in there, and I wind up getting second place. My old Rocket Grunt team, which relied heavily on my defensive core of Umbreon, Golbat, and Gligar. Of course, and as usual with that team, my big killer is my Zippy the Heliolisk, which, come the end of the battle, it can usually just come in and clean things up.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful Pokemon. I love it. But anyway, I got a sneak peek of N's team, and he had a true Moonshine team. And so this is kind of our Grunt Battle of the Phase. We're going to link it in. It didn't turn out well in N's favor.
No, but you saw some creativity with it, though.
Oh, no. That Moltres? I had to watch this replay a couple times to really try and figure out what was going on with the sets, because the Moltres was running Substitute.
It was basically what the Moltres was the hacksiest thing you could ever see in a game.
Banking on that good old ST hacks, it had it was Substitute with Toxic and then Air Slash, and I think it had...
I think it was Hurricane, because I...
Yeah.
Well, it would be... It was choice move, but from what we saw in later matches in the day, N's Moltres were running Hurricane, so we can kind of assume it might have been running Hurricane.
It could have also been a Flamethrower, but either way, he was sticking with the Air Slash.
Yeah, definitely going for the flinch confuse with toxic and
to just kind of hacks his way out of there, and with the substitute and with Moltres being decently fast, not so bad of an idea. The main problem is Moltres is a bit on the frail side and can't really reliably pull that off, but kudos to him for trying.
Yeah.
The Durant was also running a substitute.
Yeah, substitute Hone Claws.
Mm-hmm.
But the big problem, since we're going to assume that you already watched the video, was he let that Houndoom set up.
Yeah, that Houndoom getting off. I think it got three nasty plots, making it +6, 4x special attack. Not even the mighty Moonshine could have survived that. However, the Moonshine wasn't shiny, so, and only gets half credit for Team Moonshine. I mean, and let's face it, if it was shiny, it would have lived.
If it was shiny, it would have had Filter as its ability, so.
Obviously.
I mean, it obviously would have lived.
It was, no contest.
That even though Filter wouldn't have helped take the hit at all because it wasn't super effective, it still would have lived.
It still would have lived just because it would have been, you know, a true successor to the truth that was Moonshine, the Pokemon that lives at 1 HP when everyone thinks it's going to die.
Yeah. So even though ST did end up losing that one, we all know the real winner here was N.
And if you ask why, it's because Dozier says so.
Yeah.
Team Moonshine hype!
Yes.
So, really, that's all there is for battles?
Yeah, they're...
It was a break phase, so there's not a lot of battles going on. But just because there weren't a lot of battles doesn't mean that things did not happen when it comes to the victory points.
Yes. Oh my goodness. There is a little come-from-behind victory here. But we're just going to start with our normal VP rundown.
Mm-hmm.
Arcadia doing another phase with the 0-0, one for one.
Yeah, like, lose none, anything. Gain none, still sitting comfortably in first at 48. But where the big jump comes is our second place competitors here, the good old, the mighty strong Dim Sun. Now they didn't lose anything, which I think is a key thing here, and they won two territories.
And of those two territories, they're getting some nice bonus points for them as well.
Yep. They earned Floroma and Eterna, and through winning Floroma, they completed the area that was Southwest Sinnoh, which has 5 locations, meaning that they get 2 bonus victory points.
And in getting Eterna, they got North Central Sinnoh, which gives them another single bonus victory point.
Which brings their total up to an entire +5 between the 3 bonus points and the 2 for the territories, putting them from 30 to 35.
And this might be one of the biggest jumps that we've seen so far in the season.
Definitely one of the biggest jumps that we've seen ever since we started doing the phase recaps.
Yes, but...
5 points is a huge jump, and that only puts them 13 behind the quote-unquote dominating... lead of Arcadia, which at the rate things are going, if Dim Sun keeps this up and Arcadia keeps dropping the ball.
Yeah, it's going to end up being very competitive, and who knows how it'll end up.
I am enjoying to see these climbs and the changes in these points. It's really refreshing to see that the fact that Arcadia doesn't really have a clear win, because a few more phases like this...
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. But just because Dim Sun's having a good phase, obviously if one team goes up, the fact of the matter is another team must go down. Floroma and Eterna both being taken from Magma, who at phase 11 were at 21 points total, so they -2, they didn't gain anything.
Did you do the math right there, Dozer?
Pretty sure I did.
Because they also lost the Kalos Pokemon League.
Was that... Then maybe I did the math wrong.
Yep.
Double checking my numbers here. Wait, my numbers. I got the final numbers right. That's what counts. They also lost, as Zach says. I forgot to write this down, but it was in my calculation. They lost also the Kalos Pokemon League, leaving them at a -3, dropping them from. Wait, what?
From 21 to 18.
Yes, there we go. It's I gotta do a double check, because right now on the Victory Point things here, it says they're at 19, but there's something that I need to double check and edit in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then of course, Solar Trinity, nothing happening there. Lost none, gained none, 2020.
Yeah.
They got good eyesight.
Put some straight into third place without having to really do much at all.
Once again, those third and fourth places swapping back and forth.
Yep. And then in last place, we have Snag'em gaining the one Kalos Pokemon League territory. But at least they're gaining more points, and they're starting maybe a new climb up into the third and fourth area.
Yep. They're now up to 15, which if they can get a few more key territories, they can probably jump up fairly quickly.
Yeah. All right. So that's the Victory Point breakdown for this. First place is Arcadia, followed by Dimsung, Solar Trinity, Magma, and Snag'em. Let's talk about the trades.
Okay, now, there's not much to talk about when it comes to the trades, and yet there's a lot to talk about.
That's a common theme we have here, where there's not much to talk about, but at the same time, there's a lot.
Let me have this. So obviously, come Friday, once the battles... Officially, the battle phases ended. Obviously, not all battles were done, but we kind of just let that go because it's break phase. We're not going to crack down too hard. People still have a few days. But we put up the trade exchange post, and I'm just going to list all of the trades that happened. Obviously, the order was Snag'em first with 15 points, Magma second with 18, Solar Trinity third with 20, Dimsung fourth with 35, Arcadia last with 48. And so that means Snag'em got to choose first. It goes in reverse order of priority. Here is the list of confirmed trades. Snag'em has chosen not to exchange types. Magma has chosen not to exchange types. Solar Trinity has chosen not to exchange types. Dimsung has chosen not to exchange types. Arcadia has chosen not to exchange types.
Wow. That's boring.
But here's the thing. I know because I'm friends with a lot of people in different teams. I hear them talk. They talk to me. They tell me things. I hear the negotiations go down. There were a few negotiations being thrown around, a few offers, and no one settled on anything because there are even people who in here, they're like, because I have teams, tribes offered by other teams. Solar Trinity offered Dragon. Snag'em offered Fairy. Arcadia offered Fire. Here's what teams are doing, and I'm talking to you guys. You guys can keep your types all you want, but from what I've been seeing, at least from what I've been seeing, this may not be what's happening, but this is what I'm observing. Zach, feel free to chime in and correct me if I'm wrong. You're in Arcadia. I know how you guys don't agree on types. Ever.
No, we don't.
You really don't. You're always infighting about it. What's basically going on is a team is walking in here, and they're just like, here's my worst type. Who wants it?
It's rather counterproductive to the whole type trade aspect
because
of the game.
Think of it like when you're trading cards. Like, let's say that Zach's got a Mint Edition Charizard. Super expensive Charizard, but like
What I've got here right in front of me right now. Not really. I have with me a Gem Mint. The Gem Mint that has never been touched by human hands is a Gem Mint promotional Ancient Mew card. You can order these online, but they're kind of hard to come by.
Mm-hmm.
Going price about $20.
And let's say I've got a promo Pikachu that's been played with. It's still like limited edition. It's a little bit worn. Its value, let's say, roughly about $5.
Yeah. The way the trades work out for the best is when someone says, hey, you've got a card I want, or you've got something I want. What can I give you so I can get that? And most of the time, the way it will go down that both sides benefit from it is when you have a trade of equal value.
Exactly. And the thing is, you got to be trading things that both sides want.
And both sides could benefit from.
Exactly. So let's apply this to Turf Wars. Let's say that let's assign each other a team's types. You know what? Let's just say I'm a neutral. Let's just go with this. Zach, you're Arcadia with normal psychic fighting fire.
Okay.
And let's say I'm just going to do the neutral types as an example. I am Team Moonshine with dark, ice, ghost, and rock.
Okay, and what is your signature type?
My signature type, just for the sake of trading, let's say it's ice.
It's ice, okay.
All right.
So?
Now, I noticed that my team types have a big fighting weakness with dark and ice.
Yeah.
So, I want psychic, because that gives me a way to deal with fighting.
Yeah, obviously psychic is a big, like, on Arcadia, psychic, it's no surprise to anyone. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out. Psychic is a big core, along with basically all their types work really well with synergy. But psychic is good in their core.
Yep.
It takes away from the fighting weakness from normal, and it also deals with poison other types that come around. The best thing I can do is, he says, I want psychic. So I look, what does he have that I think has equal value to psychic? And honestly, the only thing that's really worth trading psychic for would be dark.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can settle on those, because anyway with the trade, you're going to be losing stuff and you're going to be gaining stuff.
Exactly.
It's going to happen. And you have to try and outweigh the losses. You have to outweigh the takes from the losses when it comes to this. But a lot of things we were seeing is that teams were trying to basically gyp other teams out of decent types. Like saying that you're going to trade, say for example, for whatever reason, I don't even think this was negotiated. We'll say I'm on Snag'em for whatever reason, and I'm like, hey, so we've got Bug. Would you like to trade Fire for Bug? Would be a pretty bad trade.
Dude, that's a trade that actually kind of happened in reverse last trade phase.
Shut up.
Okay.
I'm talking between teams.
Okay, fine. So yeah, and it's like staying up, it's got a Bug. All right, let's go with a little, let's up the ante. Let's go insane. Let's see. So Snag'em has Bug. They want Dim Sun's water.
Yeah.
And obviously that trade's not gonna fly, no matter how you can sell it. You can try and make Bug to be the biggest, baddest type around. You can be toting around the Heracross, you can be toting around the Megas that come with Bugs, you can be showing off the Shuckles, the Fortress.
You can be showing statistics, and you can be showing what you're getting in their OU, the UU, the RU. You're showing all the viability of it. Doesn't matter, because another thing you have to take into account is how the team plays.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I saw too many people playing salesman.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. Playing salesman is an amazing thing to do when you're trying to sell something. Selling and trading are not, I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive, but they're not mutually inclusive either.
No.
And yes, those are big words for 3 a.m. I think I know what they mean.
They aren't the same. It goes to our good old phase recap motto. There is a lot that's the same, and then there's a lot that isn't the same.
Exactly. It is and it isn't.
It is and it isn't.
So it's just, and the thing is, I'm like, ooh, we could really see a lot of interesting dynamics change with the type exchange and the type trades. Obviously, I wasn't expecting much of an exchange. The types that were up for exchange were Ice, Rock, and Ghost. Those aren't exactly types that a lot of teams want.
They're kind of shit.
Now,
yeah.
Kind of. I make teams with them because I'm on neutral, and I can confirm they're kind of shit. Because, obviously, they're the leftovers. You don't go and you throw away your fresh, slice of pizza. You don't throw that in the garbage so you can go and eat a cold corn dog that you made 5 days ago.
Dude, corn dogs are great, though.
Yeah, but 5-day-old corn dogs are a bit touchy.
Bit moldy, too.
A little bit.
But, yeah. The problem now, I think, with the trade, because it's kind of losing its whole, like, appeal to me.
Yeah, the reason it existed was for teams to test their... because types were distributed via draft. There was a random type. It allowed for teams to adjust to the types that they kind of wanted. But what wound up happening, we have these three types that are really good, and this one type that we don't really use.
Yeah.
Which, of course, you have four types. You want your Pokemon teams to usually, I'm looking at you, some Mono Normal Arcadia teams, to usually be diversive in types. We all know that four does not divide into six evenly.
No, but three divides into six pretty evenly.
Generally, what we see is we see two types complement each other very well to form a core, either offensively or defensively. And then we see another type. So there's generally two types that tend to be repeated twice, minimum. And then there's the two types that are used once. And sometimes the third type is even repeated twice if the fourth type has nothing to really offer. For example, let's take a look at... Arcadia is the best example I can think of this, because obviously I used to be on Arcadia. I know their team building very well. Their teams generally consist of 2 to 3 normals, 1 or 2 psychics, 2 to 3 fighting.
Unless you're me.
Unless you're Zach. Occasionally, there will be a fire in there. You can even find teams that are literally 4 to 5 normal. It's not uncommon, sadly. I'm judging you. I still am. So of course, they're just like, we don't really use fire types. It was the same thing when they got rid of Ghost for fire. And they found that they didn't use it. And so they wanted to trade it for something that they thought they'd use. Here's the thing. It's the same problem you guys had with Ghost. You didn't use it because normal psychic and fighting is really, really good.
Yeah.
Other teams are kind of having that same problem where three of their types are really, really good. And the fourth type is just kind of there for the few people who use it. And now all of a sudden everyone's trying to give this fourth type that they don't really use as often, and they're trying to throw it around. And the only other thing that other teams are offering is this fourth type that they don't really use that often. And that's because everyone's core types tend to work out pretty good.
Yeah.
Man, and you know what? Teams don't have to trade. That's the thing. Like, a lot of them chose not to exchange types. Which, if they didn't want to trade, that's fine. But the thing is, I know there were some teams that wanted to change their types. And they didn't. Because I felt... Now, I can be completely wrong, and it's fine for me to be completely wrong, because I'm human, but from an outsider's perspective, it looked like they weren't really negotiating. They were just like, we want this, have this thing that we don't use, and that's not a fair deal, because no, you're giving up literally pretty much nothing to gain a whole lot of something in that situation.
You're basically like the guy who's like, hey, going back to cards, it's like, hey, you see this Pokemon on the show a lot. I'll trade you this one for, like, a bunch of your, like, you know, your common Nightmarch cards. Even though Nightmarch is, like, really fun to play and really strong, they wouldn't have known it. And you're just seeing a bunch of, like, not-so-great things trying to be passed off as amazing right now.
And it's kind of disappointing to see a little bit.
Yeah.
Because the type trading mechanic, I really, really like it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's a great idea. And and the way that it was put up correctly. There's no flaw in the type trading in the system itself.
There is maybe one thing that I'd consider looking at reanalyzing, and this is one thing that I noticed when I was on a team with the first type trade, and I think it's one reason that a lot of teams get hesitant. You're given no time to adjust.
Oh yeah, that's another thing.
The type goes up at the end of the battle phase. It's like type exchanges can go on, because the idea is the reason the post doesn't go up until later is because obviously it gets sticky and then it would take place with Ledger, even though that's rather irrelevant. But the thing is, you guys know the type trades are coming, so I'm assuming you've been, and I know that some at least, you've been talking about it for at least, generally at least a week before the thread gets posted, sometimes longer. And so I know that you guys tried to get your deals in, things fell through because the negotiations didn't really happen.
Nope.
It was more, here's this, we want that, and then a nope. Honestly, out of the exchanges that I found, I don't know if I should actually say ones that I offers that I know existed.
Probably not.
But there were, I'll just put it this way, there was a team that went up to another team offering one of their core types for another team's core type. And it seemed like a relatively even offer. Of course, the other team shut it down because you didn't want to give up one of your core types. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to give up one of your core types. It's scary. Because all of a sudden, you know, a lot of how you perform is based off of the pool of Pokemon you have at your disposal. Would you give up something that gives you a lot of options for something that gives you a lot of new options that you don't necessarily know how to use in your other types?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a lot of experimentation and a lot of testing to do when you get a new type. And 6 weeks is a lot of time to get testing with your teams to see what works and what doesn't. But the thing is, that first week, you're just rushed into new types and you don't know what to use. You don't know what you're giving up. And there's a lot riding on that.
I think what we're saying is that the type trade can be it can be a risk, but it can be entertaining at the same time. Now, here's my question to you, Dozer.
Oh, boy.
So this actually just came to me. And is there anything you would want to change with the way that the types are distributed in any way?
Like with how the draft works?
Not with how the draft works. Well, yes, kind of how so with that?
I think that the current format the draft's in is perfectly fine. Obviously, I'm not allowed to divulge too much information, but I can confirm that there has been discussion about Season 3 and what we're going to do and not do, and there has been thoughts of looking at how we did things, what worked and what didn't work, is what we're in the process of doing. And of course, you know, in that process, I took a step back and I looked at, from a neutral perspective, the type draft and how it functioned. Now, for those of you who don't know, here's how the type draft functioned in distributing the four types. A signature type was chosen by each team. This was a type that would not change. It was the only type that they got to hand select, and it was also the only type that could be duplicated in the draft. Because if it wasn't for this clause in there, the last few teams to choose in the draft would have had, like, to choose from basically ice or rock. Would have been, like, for example, the last few types left. Some of the types that basically I have right now. The ones that no one really wants. And they'd be forced to choose that. And the last team would have to choose one thing. And then the pool would get refreshed. And then the final team, their true final team, would have an entire large pool to choose the one duplicate. So by having the signature types able to be duplicated, we make it so there's always at least a pool of four types for the last team to choose from. So they're not stuck with the leftovers. And of course, the reason why we don't want the duplication of types is because we don't want four or five teams running around with, like, water or something like that. We don't want everyone having water, steel, psychic, normal, or something incredibly ridiculous like that. You know, so. And so that's, there's the sig types. And then the second draft is completely randomized. This is the only thing that I felt was, I wasn't too fond of, but I didn't hate it either. Because it added an element of chance into things. And of course, if we look at the types we have now, everyone's random type, for the most part, is a type that became part of their integral core.
Yeah.
The only exceptions to that were Magma, who I think their random draft was Rock, and Snagum, whose random draft was Fire.
And, Sir Trinity's, whose was Ice.
No, theirs was Steel.
Theirs was Steel?
Theirs was Steel.
Ah.
They picked Ice.
Okay.
They picked Ice.
Okay.
Yep, they picked Ice. When Dark was an option.
That's a pretty cool choice they went with.
Pretty cool choice. You'd make Frozen Warrior proud.
I would. In fact, that whole team would make them proud because of how hacksy they are.
They would. You know, so that's the only thing. But at the same time, that worked. There was really no complaints. The only thing that did is it made it really hard to kind of plan your picks.
Yeah.
Which I think, because I remember this big debate, because it was right after the Aqua Rocket merge. And I was a newly appointed admin, and I was just trying to keep everyone from slicing each other's heads off. Because we were two teams that were enemies during a large part of Season 1. And we were fighting about, of course, what types we were going to get, and everyone was confused about the type draft. And for some reason, we had this thought in our head that we could plan out what we wanted, build a priority list of things that we wanted, and we fully lost things, what we'd want in return. And what wound up happening was, first off, everything we wanted got distributed in the randoms.
Oh, yeah.
And we were drafted to go last. So that's, the things that hurt in the type draft. But you know what? It turned out pretty well in the end. I really do think, as long as the types are being drafted in the current format, things balance out fairly well. Because obviously your Sig types, they can't be repeated, but you're probably going to choose something that you like, your favorite type, that's going to be really strong in your core.
Yeah.
Your random type, that's a wild card. You have no idea what that's going to be, and that's going to likely influence your third choice. Now, generally, the third choices are going to be the best types available at your disposal that balance your team out. These were like fighting, grass, flying, ground, and dragon. If I'm remembering the Season 2 type draft correctly. And then generally that fourth type, as we've talked about earlier, is kind of picked from the leftovers at the buffet.
Yeah.
So it's that fourth type that people just tend to pick. As here's what's left, here's what helps us the most, here we go. And 9 times out of 10, it's either the random type or that fourth type that get exchanged and traded. And I think that's perfectly fine. I really haven't heard a lot of complaints about types. I've just, except for, you know, the teams that want to trade their worst type, which... You know what? Of course you're going to want to trade your worst type.
That's going to happen.
You want to get rid of what's bad and replace it with something better. But here's the thing. That's not how trades work.
Nope.
And the thing is, no one's going to want to... Until someone realizes, you know what? We don't use any of this. They don't use any of this. We're going to swap them because then at least we might find something that we use.
Exactly.
At least both teams get a chance to try something new. Because that's the best thing I like about the type exchange, along with the type draft and redoing the draft each season, is it freshens up your types. And that's also why I tell people when they're looking at what team to join, don't let what types they have be a deciding factor.
No.
Because those types are going to change. But what's not going to change are the people in those teams.
Now, quick question, Dozer. Did the types of Rocket influence your choice at all? Season 1?
Season 1?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear the story of how I joined season one?
It was Fleet, so.
Yeah. I didn't have a choice in the matter. A woman told me to join Team Rocket, and I said yes.
But was she at the end of a Nugget Bridge?
Sadly, no, she was not.
Oh.
And I did think about leaving and joining. I wanted to join a Cypher.
Because I'm a Boar fanboy.
And then Snag'em finally became an official team. And Snag'em, Gonza, that was like my favorite part of the Ore games. So then I wanted to join that. So my choices were always lore-based.
Yeah.
Because in Season 1, the types were chosen based on lore. And that didn't work out so well.
No, you had some pretty... pretty busted teams. Looking primarily at Aqua with that water and flying
combo.
What the hell?
And what about everyone having dark type?
Yeah, except for Cypher.
You guys are the bad ones.
Everybody but Cypher gets dark.
Everybody but Cypher gets dark.
Dude, we got Dragon, though.
Hey, you guys, you were the only team with Dragon.
I used Dragalge before it was cool.
Before adaptability?
Before adaptability.
Hey, man, I was on Rocket. We had Poison, so...
Dude, no. See, Poison Point, Dragalge...
New meta?
With Rocky Helmet, Max Special Defense, new meta.
New meta. I heard it here first, folks. Right alongside that Slow Start Magikarp.
Slow Start Magikarp. All right. Anyway.
I think I've irritated and made enough people angry with me for today.
Yeah, I think with this in combination with our last episode we just recorded, I think we have a nice little angry mob formed for the next couple weeks.
You know what? Come at me, brah. Come at me, brah.
I would not want bras to come at me.
Well, if they're coming
prefer,
at me...
I would prefer for you to keep your clothes on. I've been Syracuse.
Whoa, that's a... you're mean.
That's a segue.
I've been tired.
Yep. And this has been the Boom Burst Recap. Have a nice night,
Insomnia Edition.
Buddy.
Let's go to bed. The Boom Burst is not responsible for any injuries or hurt opinions caused by the discussions held, especially when the hosts are tired. Thank you. Goodbye.